painting five Americans, investigating if they were attempting to attack a nuclear complex there. The five men were picked up earlier this month. Ask the folks in Duluth, Minnesota. A white Christmas looks good on a Christmas card, but real life, another matter.
Horrible. About as bad as you can imagine.
2 feet of snow translates into a lot of shoveling. Much of the Midwest have had their shovels out and working since yesterday. The storm has moved east at this point, bringing New England a boatload of freezing rain. And 21 deaths have been blamed on this storm. It was not a good Christmas for Charlie Sheen. The actor spent most of the day in jail after being arrested on domestic violence charges. Cops responded to a 911 call in Aspen, Colorado, and wound up arresting the 44-year-old for second-degree assault and other matters. Sheen stars Two and a Half Men. Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You're tuned into KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James, and I've got your Central Coast forecast here for the weekend. We're going to have some cloudy skies today with a few showers this afternoon. High of 59, south-southeast winds, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, cloudy with showers and a low of 43, southeast winds, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Sunday, cloudy, few showers, and a high of 62 with light winds. And out there on the Monterey Bay, the southeast winds 5 to 10 knots. Wind waves less than 2 feet. West swell 5 to 7 feet at 15 seconds with a slight chance of rain. Tonight, south winds 5 to 10 knots, becoming southeast after midnight. Wind waves less than 2 feet. West swell 8 to 10 feet at 16 seconds with a chance of rain. Sunday, southeast winds 5 to 10 knots. Wind waves less than 2 feet. West swell 8 to 10 feet at 16 seconds with a chance of showers. And current temperatures, it is 43 degrees in Watsonville, 50 in Monterey, 45 in Salinas, and here in Santa Cruz, right outside KSCO Studios, it's 49 degrees. Official time is 10:06 and 31 seconds on this Saturday, December 26, 2009. Up next, the Saturday special with MZ. Stay tuned. KSCO Santa Cruz, I'm Nikki James.
Hi, Kanicki James.
Hi.
How you be today?
Nickel. I'm doing good. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah, I'm here at KSCO North.
Yes.
Where it is very not foggy. It's hazy, you know. But the water is shimmering. It's just very, very nice.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. So are you emotional today?
Emotional.
Emotional. Yeah.
Not too emotional. I'm kind of just, you know, happy. Had a good time.
In light of the fact that this is, we all have a reason to be emotional today.
Okay. Boxing Day?
No.
Oh, okay. What?
No. I mean, that doesn't make you emotional. Well, I suppose it does.
Some people.
This is the last, the final Saturday special of 2000. Of 2009.
Yeah.
Doesn't it just sort of choke you up and, you know, make you?
Oh, totally.
Yeah. So.
Yep. But 2010 is going to be even better.
Yeah, we had some good ones, didn't we?
Yeah.
We had some good Saturday specials in 2009, and pretty soon in 2010, we're gonna outdo ourselves.
Always.
Yeah.
Always.
All righty. Well, so without any further ado, did we ever figure out what ado means? Ado, A-D-O?
Without any further ado, I think we did once, but apparently both you and I have forgotten.
We have, yeah. Yeah. So without any further ado, let's start the program.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time. We've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go. It's today, you know, on KSVO Radio.
Now we make it official. Good morning, folks. In KSCO land, welcome to the Saturday special, the final one of 2009. Why am I making such a big deal of that? I don't know. I have to fill up the time. All right, we're going to be on the air right up until 12 noon with a nice program to send out the year with. And so we hope you'll stay with us till noon. You'll be happy you did.
Good morning.
Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Well, barring a miracle, say goodbye to life and prosperity as we've known it all our lives. The Obamacare program that's about to come down on us will denude the last vestige of hope for any affluence, for the middle class, for generations to come, if not destroy everything that made this country great. This is not an opinion, it's a fact. The people ramming this abomination through are either evil or stupid. No, make that incredibly stupid. All they're doing is making a bad system much worse at the expense of the only productive people left in this society. Such a shame, such a pity. They shouldn't be spending all the money we'll ever have and more to further fund a proven failed system when all they need to do is adopt a system of prevention rather than reaction. The solution is simple. Hear all about it on the next and last KSCO special of 2009 with our guest, the amazingly logical and brilliant Dr. Joel Wallach, this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on It's About Time Someone Cut Through the BS Radio, AM 1080 KSCO. It's just like old times, huh?
Yeah, good morning. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, and all that stuff.
Yeah. Did you have a good one?
Oh, absolutely. 8 grandkids, 2 great-grandkids, 4 kids.
Oh, that'll do it.
So that'll do it every time.
For sure. Well, golly, you know, I'm sort of excited to do this radio program because it's been probably 14 years since you and I did a 2-hour program where we weren't under the gun, you know, to... You know, for, you know, breaks and all this kind of stuff. We can be relaxed and so forth. It's a and quite a topic today.
Yes, this will be our fireside chat here.
Yeah, that'll be good. So listen, start us out here. You've been watching this as everybody has. Been probably been the biggest news story of 2009. Healthcare in America and how it must change. Now you agree with that, right?
Well, first of all, this has been coming on us since 1965 when Medicaid was put into action. This is not something that's happened over the last year. This has been a ever-increasing debt on the American people. Right now, we owe $38 trillion for our Medicaid obligations to date. $38 trillion we're already in debt in Medicare. Medicare. We're $38 trillion. When you're talking billions, you're talking chump change here. This is $38 trillion in Medicare debt we already owe. And it kind of leaves you speechless, doesn't it?
Yeah, but yeah. Let me say this. So it's ridiculous. It's absurd. Back in 1965, when Medicare first went through, I guess that was the Johnson administration,
yes.
Right? Yeah. What did people think? Isn't it nice we're going to take care of our seniors? We're going to take care of our seniors' population here, right?
Well,
I don't remember that being all that controversial back then.
No,
I was a kid, so maybe I wasn't plugged into politics like I am now.
There was no controversy. Both parties and every... wannabe third and fourth and fifth party, every group felt it was the right thing to do was to offer health care for American seniors. And so Medicare seemed to be the right thing to do. It somehow intertwine it with the existing Social Security Act. It was the smart thing to do. And at that time, the mistake was made. And the mistake continues. Of course, it magnifies as baby boomers are coming along here, is that we have the best health care system in the world. You heard President Obama say that literally thousands of times. You heard everybody in the Senate, both on the Democratic and the Republican side, we have the best health care system in the world, which all this stuff that we're talking about is built on a false premise. We do not have the best health care system in the world. We have the most expensive one. And, of course, in their minds, they translate that to the best. Well, we have the most expensive, but it is, in fact, a failed and corrupt system. And now when you bring all this extra money in here, you're going to bring every criminal in, because the mafia has even gone into Medicare and Medicaid and insurance, because they know you can do all kinds of things, defraud and steal from Medicare and Medicaid and insurance. Nobody goes to jail. The mob has very smartly, very ingeniously given up prostitution, gambling, and drugs, because you go to jail for that. Nobody goes to jail for Medicare fraud. In fact, I think there was a guy up in San Francisco who was just arrested for $61 million, I think it was, in Medicare fraud. $61 million, and he was billing falsely. And this guy wasn't even a doctor. He just set himself up as an insurance agency. Yeah. And he, over a period of 10 years, has illegally billed Medicare for $61 million, and they just caught him. How can you defraud the government for $61 million, and they just catch you finally? And so, you know, on a smaller scale, this guy was like a Bernie Madoff. And so this is, now that all the money's coming this way, I mean, there's been so many things happen in the last couple of days. Ford offered a buyout for their last 41,000 hourly employees. They're getting rid of all 41,000 in Detroit of their hourly employees. They've offered them a buyout as soon as the Senate bill passed, the third vote, because they don't want any employees. They're going to ship all the manufacturing of automobiles to Indonesia and India and China.
Why should anybody want employees in this country when the government punishes you for having employees?
Exactly.
I mean, it's logic.
Yes, and so, again, all this is built on the false premise since 1965, which is, what, 45 years ago, almost 46 years ago now, that we have the best health care system in the world. And it's really, this goes back to June of 1776, when the then first soon-to-be U.S. Surgeon General, one Benjamin Rush, who'd been the chief military surgeon for the Revolutionary Armies in the U.S., he said at that time, and that's because at that time there was arguments between homeopaths and herbalists and what they would call straight doctors, who had a different meaning back then.
Yeah.
Those were...
real doctors, right?
Well,
real
those doctors. Were the, quote, real doctors. Those are the ones that use mercury paste to burn your skin, blister your skin, and give the mercury to you orally to cause a cleansing where you have screaming, bloody diarrhea because you're ingesting mercury. So all these guys are arguing. And Benjamin Rush at that time said, and he wrote a letter to Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson and the people constructing the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, in June of 1776, he says, we have to have an amendment in the Constitution that gives everybody the right to whatever medical system they want to choose, much the same as freedom of religion and freedom of speech. Otherwise, eventually, and I'm quoting him, he said, one class of men will take over the medical science, and that will be the effect, in effect, the Bastille of health care, unquote. That was back in June of 1776. Well, Benjamin Rush's worst nightmares have just come to pass.
Only now.
Yep.
Uh-huh. And, well, actually, a little bit during, you know.
Well, it's been a travesty ever since that time. They used to have gunfights. One group of doctors would take, you know, a different philosophical ilk would take over a hospital, and the other group would march down to the city armory and take the cannons and blow the front doors off the hospital and go, and they have gunfights all through the hospital over philosophy. And instead of having an amendment which says, hey, everybody should have the doctor they want.
So why didn't they do that? They did a lot of other wise
Well, because things, but... then as now, one group of doctors had the power, as they say. Okay? And, of course, when President Obama said, well, everybody's going to be able to keep their doctor, he's not talking about people who wanted to keep their naturopathic doctor or their chiropractor or their herbalist or their Chinese traditional medical doctor. You know, you go to Chinatown and they use Chinese traditional medical doctors. Well, that's not going to count.
Has it counted up until now?
No.
Oh, okay.
It hasn't counted, but those people have chosen those health care givers as their doctor.
So in that case, it's not going to change. I'm not saying it shouldn't. I wish
of course
it would,
it'll change, because if you continue using a Chinese traditional doctor, the government's going to fine you. You're going to get a ticket every year for a couple thousand bucks until you pick a medical doctor.
Are you sure?
Yes, because when he's talking about you can keep your doctor, he's not talking about the people in Oregon and Washington State and Arizona and Montana and Alaska and in all the New England states who have a naturopathic doctor, for instance. We're duly licensed by the states. They're duly licensed by the states, but insurance companies do not pay for their services.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah. They're duly licensed by the states.
But you can elect to pay them yourself, and you know, without insurance, since insurance doesn't.
Well,
cover
you can,
any.
But see now.
But now it's going to. Yeah. Oh, geez.
Now you're going to have to pay out of your own pocket for your naturopathic doctor, or your chiropractor, or your Chinese traditional medical doctor, or your Ayurvedic medical
and
doctor.
And a fine, and you're
You haven't picked a medical doctor.
It would seem to me that there would be just an incredible uproar that I don't think there has been.
People do not understand because they take politicians at their word when they say, you can keep your doctor. And they say, okay, no big deal. Well, when they get that ticket in the mail because you haven't chosen a medical doctor, and of course, I don't think this is constitutional. I don't know if these two bills, the House and or the Senate bill versions, will pass muster going through the Supreme Court for review. I don't know that it will pass muster because, for instance, Social Security was given at the same rate for everybody, rich and poor. Medicare was given to everybody at the same rate, rich or poor. And here they're saying, we're going to give extra taxes for people who are in certain income brackets. Well, first of all, that's morally wrong and against our capitalist democratic system. But secondly, it goes against the Constitution. Because you can't injure one group of people by gender or age or financial level.
The progressive, I don't know whether it's progressive or regressive, but progressive income tax system has stood that test over the years. And I think it's the same thing that applies, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it'll be very interesting to see what the Supreme Court does with this, because the court has to rule on all federal laws and most state laws. And for instance, here, let's see what the House and Senate versions when it comes to age rating says. The House bill says that it's going to allow private insurers to price premiums up to twice as high for older people as it does for middle-aged people. So seniors, the ones who can least afford to pay, are going to pay double. Now, the Senate bill is going to allow private insurers to price premiums up to three times higher for older people as it does for middle-aged people. And so I don't think that the seniors or AARP who are for that bill have read that piece.
Right. How did you find out? Have you taken the time to read through these bills?
I mean, I had a team of people get the bills and compare for me. I mean, I didn't have the time to do it, but I had a team actually compare cost and coverage for the House and Senate bill, requirements of individuals for the House and Senate bill, requirement for businesses. This is why immediately Ford offered that buyout to all the remaining 41,000. That is very...
telling.
Was the barometer of what's going to happen here.
And Detroit is already a ghost town, pretty much.
Yeah, you can fire a cannon through Detroit, not hit anybody. Now, the same thing is going to happen to Seattle by June of 2010, because in Ensenada, Mexico, which is about an hour and a half south of the border with San Diego, about 3 months ago, there was a full-page front story on the San Diego Times-Union. And they said that the Mexican government, which I appreciate that, the Mexican government had just finished 100 square miles of aircraft assembly plants in Ensenada. They have dredged that port to make it deeper to accommodate heavy transport and container ships, and they're going to be manufacturing Boeing and Airbus there in Ensenada now instead of Seattle. So you're going to hear that giant sucking sound in Seattle as you did in Detroit a couple of years ago, as all the assembly jobs for Airbus and Boeing go to Mexico. Now, they've been supplying parts.
Now, is this by someone's design, or is it just a reaction of businesses saying, hey, I've had it. Enough of this crap.
Okay,
I'm out of here.
Well, again, this goes back to the belief that we have the best healthcare system in the world. So back in, and you may not be old enough to remember, Michael, but back in 1992, that's a backhanded compliment, by the way.
Thank you.
May not be old enough to remember back in the three-way election in 1992 between Ross Perot,
yeah.
Old Bush 41, and
yeah.
Clinton.
Yeah.
Two of the big political footballs back then was this exact health care calamity that we're looking at now.
Yeah.
And Ross Perot was very insightful because he had been dealing with Social Security. In fact, his company, I believe, prints all the Social Security checks and many of the checks that go out. And he said many things, but two things were very insightful. Number one, remember, this is 1992, and Ross Perot said this, Michael. He said, now, if you think medical care is expensive now, wait until it's free.
Yeah.
And everybody laughed at that and said, oh, well, that's a kooky thing to say. Now everybody's exactly understanding what he said. Which is what, 17 years ago?
Well, I don't agree with you that everybody's understanding it.
Soon.
Okay, all right.
Okay, now the other thing he said, which is even more important and pertinent to the topic we're on now, why is Boeing and Airbus shipping all their assembly of aircraft down there? You know, have you ever flown those little Embraer regional jets?
Sure.
Well, you know where those are assembled?
No.
Brazil.
Wow.
Those are not U.S. manufactured airplanes. They're actually the parts are made in Mexico, and they're assembled in Brazil.
Yeah, I call them puddle jumper jets.
Yeah. They're actually, if you read that little safety thing they have for the Embraer jets in the back pocket of the seat in front of you, it says assembly done in Brazil. It tells you that right there. And so at any rate, the next thing Ross Perot said in 1992 was, if NAFTA is signed, there's going to be this giant sucking sound as all the jobs leave America. Everybody laughed at him, including the union. Everybody laughed at him. Well, it took 10 years for the infrastructure to be built in Mexico and China and India. Well, in Mexico, all of the Maytag and Philco and many other iconic assembly plants, Revereware, the aluminum pots and pans.
Sure.
All went to Mexico. I think Revere went to India, and Philco and Maytag all went to Mexico. The same thing happened as soon as they were able to build all the infrastructure in India and China for manufacturing cars. Primarily GM and Chrysler and some Ford immediately began to, in 2002, went to India and China. And, of course, Bush got the blame for all the jobs leaving America, but it was actually Clinton who signed the bill in his first weeks of his first term. And so what we're seeing now is the full-blown, full-flower result of signing of that bill. And it's just amazing to me that nobody has ever thought to revoke that bill. I mean, anything that man, any law that man has made can be undone by man, right?
Yeah.
And so the whole idea now that a corporation can send their labor off to other countries, their production off to other countries, because why would I pay anybody $50 an hour and then another $20 an hour for health care to assemble a car or a Maytag washing machine or an airplane for a total of $70-something an hour when I can get equal quality of work or in some cases better quality of work for $8 an hour and get the same tax benefits for it? and you know, for CEOs and chairmen of the board of a publicly traded company, their job is to get the highest dividend rate to their shareholders, who are in fact the owners of the company.
Yeah.
Employees are pesky irritants to publicly traded companies. You know, they get a little scrape on their elbow and they want a lifetime disability check. They want 6 months pregnancy leave with pay.
Yeah.
When the company's retooled for 3 months to get a new type of car, when they furloughed, is the word they use, their hourly employees, they were getting 95% of their pay to go play poker in a warehouse for 3 months and do nothing. And so it became very attractive to pay somebody $8 an hour to work 24 hours, 7 days a week for better quality of work and get the tax break for it and then be able to pay your stockholders more money.
Yeah.
And this is why people say, well, how can Caterpillar be their stock going off the roof, all this profit, their stockholders are just rolling in the dough now, their stock is much more valuable. They still haven't hired back those 50,000 people they laid off in Peoria, Illinois. Well, that's because they're getting the tractors and bulldozers and front-end loaders and backhoes built in Indonesia for $3 an hour and no health care benefit. And so we have a lot of things going on here. Number one, we have NAFTA in full force. And number two, this premise that we have the best health care system in the world, which is a whole subject of its own.
Who do you think does have the best healthcare system?
Well, the Chinese have the best healthcare system in the world. They have almost 2 billion people, and you never hear them whining about their healthcare system. That's because 85% of the healthcare is a low-tech, non-life-threatening, non-pharmaceutical, non-surgical.
Eastern medicine.
Yeah. They use acupuncture for pain. They use acupuncture for anesthesia. They can do open-chest surgery with acupuncture. No possibility of drug overdose, no possibility of the anesthesiologist being drunk to forget to turn on the oxygen and fry your brain. And they use herbs instead of pharmaceuticals, which have been tried and tested for 10,000 years. And they have a totally different bedside manner. And now they only use Western medicine in 8 to 15% of the cases where people fall off a roof and become impaled on a picket fence, or you're in a car wreck. And up until just recently, 95% of the people in China moved around on bicycle. Well, now the motor vehicles are coming along. This is, they're competing for us for crude oil. That's why the prices continuously go up on crude oil, because we're bidding against China and India, who even 10 years ago, very few people had cars. Everybody had Burros and bicycles and that kind of stuff. Well, now everybody's getting a car, and everybody wants fuel, and so we're competing against India, who has over 1 billion people, and China with almost 2 billion people. We're competing with them for a source of oil, and this is why the prices continue to go up there.
Is there something nice that we can say today? Everything is so depressing
We haven't even gotten into the quality of healthcare service, which is what drives the cost up.
Yeah.
Again, both senators and congressmen, regardless of their party, and the president and all of his cabinet, everybody keeps saying we have the best healthcare system in the world, but we don't. Just if you look at the statistics that came out over the last, not even 20 years, 19 years, by the Center for Disease Control, they said in 1990, America ranked 17th in the world when it came to longevity, which is, to me, one of the benchmarks, one of the barometers by which we can gauge how successful our healthcare system is.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah. And so here's an independent federal agency, no axe to grind, assumably, either by political party or income or supporting any industry. Back in 1990, we ranked 17th. In 2000, 10 years later, we ranked 24th. 5 years later, in 2005, we ranked 46th. In 2008, we ranked 48th. In 2009, we now rank 50th in the world when it comes to longevity. And we as a nation are spending three-quarters of the world's entire annual expenditure for health care. We're spending three-quarters of it. The entire world at this point is spending $2.7 trillion. We're spending $2.3 trillion of it.
Why are you the only person screaming about this?
Well, because everybody else is in an entitlement mentality. Everybody thinks, Michael, that the government's going to tax and surcharge everybody else, but they're not going to be impacted. Well, if I start reading all this stuff that my team has assembled for me here, subsidies to pay for insurance. Oops. Individuals making less than $43,000 a year and a family of three earning less than $73,000 a year would be eligible for subsidies. Well, on the surface, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
Yeah, I guess.
Well, guess who's going to be paying for all those subsidies? The people making $43,500 a year and above.
Yeah.
They're going to come out of their pocket. Well, if they own a small business, guess what they're going to do? They're going to fire three of their five employees and do everything now by computer and robot. Have you ever been into one of these Carl's Jr. stores that has everything run by an ATM-like machine?
No.
Whether it's the drive-through or you walk into the lobby, you put your orders in a touch-sensitive computer.
Yeah.
You swipe your card, and by the time you get to the front counter, within 30 seconds, a computer geek has heated your fast food in a microwave, and this one computer geek in this fast food store now is running the drive-through and the counter, and instead of having 12 kids or seniors operating, well, what drove that to happen was the $9.50 minimum wage. See, those little jobs in those fast food places were not meant to be the job of a sole income earner for a household.
Yeah.
Well, now they have to provide health insurance. Now they have to pay $9.50 an hour. So they're firing all these people and going to robots, which never whine about raises, never have low back problems, never have to stay home because the kid, you know, has a fever, never have to leave early because their kid fell down in the playground at school, never showed up late because they had a rough weekend drinking, watching the Super Bowl. And so this is the government, by forcing these financial and insurance mandates, are causing all these jobs to be lost. And the most recent signal is when Ford offered their 41,000 remaining hourly employees a buyout. If you don't take the buyout, you're just going to be summarily fired.
Hmm.
As you say, am I the only one listening?
It's really depressing.
Well, there is a solution. There is a solution, Michael. You know, we're just laying out.
As Ross Perot would say, I'm all ears.
Well, of course, the solution is that people have to do what they did during the Great Depression. People have to do what they did when we switched from a horse culture to a combustion engine culture. We're going through the same dramatic change. Okay, robots and computers are taking over jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And so people have to now start their own businesses. And in their own little business charter or their business plan, get a tax deduction for requiring their business to provide health care. You have to have your own business. It's the only solution. You have to become your own primary care health provider. That is the solution. Those two
to the extent that you can, right?
I mean, I'm sorry?
To the extent that you can.
Well, you can. They're doing it in China.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they've been doing it for 10,000 years, Michael. It's not like it's an impossible thing. It's not like we have to create a model. Well, the model's already created.
Your own health care provider. In China, they use different kind. They used Eastern medicine primarily.
Well, let me give you a little example here. Back when I was a kid, my grandmother used to, every spring and every fall, send me out to the woods to get herbs and tree bark and all this kind of stuff, because we would use it for medicine during the wintertime. We would hang little cloth bags around our neck called asafizit, which was a mix of real stinky herbs. Nobody was afraid of the flu because you had your asafizit patch hanging around your neck, and those herbs, which were primarily garlic, would fend off anything. And garlic still is one of the great viricides. It'll kill viruses and fend off viruses. Garlic is a wonderful thing to do that. These essential oils that Christ was given by the three wise men from Orient old, isn't that the way it goes?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, the three wise men were from Orient Old, is how it goes. Mm-hmm. Now, Orient Old, oh, we're talking about China 6,000 years before Moses.
Yeah.
Okay? And so when they brought the gifts, they didn't bring platinum and watches and all this kind of stuff. And what they brought him was frankincense and myrrh, which were the finest gift you could bring, not because of the financial value, but because they killed viruses and plagues and pandemics to keep him safe. They essentially brought him a gift of health care, which was the greatest gift they could bring him.
Wow.
Okay, when you think about it, the three kings of Orient Old, or the three wise men of Orient Old, people don't stress that enough, that Orient Old in those days was China, 6,000-7,000 years before Moses.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, just yesterday, a girl was suspended from school because she brought some peppermint oil to school to protect herself from viruses, you know, in the school, this H1N1 swine flu. So her mother sends her to school with a little bottle of peppermint oil. She gets expelled from school for bringing peppermint oil to school because her teacher is into the medical system because she's part of the teachers union, right? You can't be bringing that over-the-counter drug into school.
Do you? I believe that could be part of the problem, but isn't it a very, very strong, you know, odor that could have been disruptive to the class?
What, peppermint oil?
Yeah.
I don't think so. Peppermint oil is less disruptive than the smell of death.
Okay.
Right. Are people belching, burping, bloating, and having bowel gas, which is very disruptive, and peppermint oil will stop all that. Peppermint oil will actually stop reflux and gastrointestinal problems, and bulbar rigmus, which is the technical name for farting. A drop of peppermint oil and a cup of hot water will do all that with no negative side effects, like things like the purple pill, Nexium, and so forth. I mean, that alone causes, Nexium can cause arthritis and diabetes and hypertension and coronary artery disease and arthritis and osteoporosis and bone spurs and kidney stones. So anybody taking Nexium really is in for all those diseases because of the side effects of Nexium. Well, there's no such side effects from peppermint oil. Peppermint oil will cost you, you know, a couple of cents per drop. Nexium costs dollars per capsule.
Yeah.
And so this is what I'm talking about. Something so simple. In fact, I was actually dealing with a pastor about 3 years ago in the middle of the night who was up with terrible diabetes and hypertension, arthritis. And I was telling him how to deal with those. And his wife had terrible reflux she'd had for 12 years and couldn't sing in the church choir because she was so disruptive with belching and burping and all the hiccuping all through the choir presentation. So she had to be downstairs cooking, you know, during the church service. Well, she happened to be there with him, and I could see her distress. And I happened to have, and it was a long story, but the short version is, I put two drops of hot water, I put two drops of peppermint oil into a cup of hot water, gave them to her, and just smelling it, she couldn't resist it, even though her doctor told her not to take any peppermint because it was too acidy for her. I gave her two drops. She smelled it. It smelled so good. She took a sip, and for the first time in 12 years, within 2 minutes, she stopped belching, burping, and hiccuping. And last year, she sung solo in the church choir for Christmas, and the entire church congregation, which numbered 1,200 people, were in tears because here the pastor's wife could now sing. But she'd been on Prozac and what's the other one?
Prilosec.
Prilosec.
Yeah.
Prilosec and Nexium for all those years. Getting worse and worse and worse, and two drops of peppermint oil and a cup of hot water solved her problem. Well, she lives on peppermint oil. It cost her, you know, 2 cents a day. And this is what I'm talking about. Instead of, you know, $400 a month for these drugs, which were making her worse, plus adding on other side effect diseases, here for 2 cents a day, she solved her problem.
God.
And so these are things that we can do, and as we educate people in school, see, now, they don't even teach them in school that vitamin C will prevent scurvy.
And that's an absolute fact. And the government does not arrest you for saying that, right? Like they arrest you for saying other things that are true.
Well, they can if they want to. I mean, they're going because I'm using the cure word there. Vitamin C will, and so they've taken all that out of the health classes. They do not talk about beriberi being cured and prevented by vitamin B1. And so people don't know all of the manifestations of scurvy. The manifestations of scurvy include things like you lose all your teeth because you get osteoporosis of your face. You get tendonitis. You get plantar fasciitis. You get osteoporosis, osteopenia, osteoarthritis. Because vitamin C is required to manufacture connective tissue, which is bone matrix, which is cartilage, which is tendons and ligaments. And kids are not taught you can prevent and cure rickets with vitamin D3 anymore.
Well, rickets isn't a disease that anybody's ever heard of anymore.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. They should be teaching that in health class, but they don't because they don't want you to know that you can prevent and cure as many as 900 different diseases with vitamins and minerals. You can prevent and cure as many as 900 different diseases, Michael, with vitamins and minerals.
I understand that.
You can prevent every birth defect if every woman would be taking vitamins and minerals prior to conception. That's a pretty bold statement. You can prevent every birth defect, which we've done in the animal industry by simply giving preconception nutrition supplement programs to the female prior to conception. We've eliminated. Can you imagine somebody paying $10 million? For a stud fee and having a full barn with Down syndrome, a cleft palate, and a heart defect, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And so why should humans be subject to that unnecessary risk when all we have to do is educate families, say, look, you can save the potential. I mean, just think of the disruption in a family
answer,
when they have a child born with Down syndrome.
Yeah.
Totally preventable for a couple of pennies a day.
The answer to your question is cha-ching.
Cha-ching, exactly. And so this is why I've spent the last 45 years of my life on this campaign to educate people. And it's only going to get worse because if this bill passes muster with the Supreme Court and they say that it is legal, we're in trouble.
I think we're already in trouble.
Oh, yeah, we're in trouble because all the jobs are going to continue to leave America. And it's gotten so bad here in California that all the illegals that usually stand around on street corners looking for work, you know, day jobs, they've all gone back to Mexico.
You know, I never stopped to think about that until now. It's true. In front of Home Depot, in front of the various lumber yards, there used to be tons. Well, it could be because there's no work. I mean,
well, that's what I'm saying. There's no work. All the day jobs are gone.
The reason there's no work, it all goes back to wow.
It all goes back to people wanting entitlements of health care, people wanting health care to be part of their wages, and really all that should be made available to people cheaply by the government is catastrophic health care. Everything else should be able to be dealt with the individuals by themselves. For instance, I suggest that everybody get a $5,000 deductible health insurance, and that should only be the health insurance should only be for catastrophic health care. Terminal cancer. Why should people? I love this one, Michael. You're with your doctor. You have stage 4, stage 5 cancer. The doctor says, okay, Roy, you have only weeks, maybe at the very best, under a perfect scenario, you got months to live, and there's not much we can do for you. This is it. This is the big casino. But we have this experimental chemotherapy thing we want to try here. How about let's do that? Now, why would you spend the last month of your life being wrecked by chemotherapy? Might kill you in a week. Instead of having 2 months, it might kill you in a week. It's certainly going to make the last 2 months of your life miserable. They're going to charge your insurance for it. And you won't be able to spend any time with your grandkids. They're going to call your kids and say, okay, your dad died at 2 o'clock this morning in the hospital. Come pick up the body.
I'm sure there are many people listening right now
who
can empathize with this. Because
People should die in their bed. Surrounded by their kids and grandkids and great-grandkids and great-great-grandkids, going through the family albums, and today they've got all these DVDs that they've made, you know, the family events and so forth, and the elders given their sage advice to their kids and grandkids and great-grandkids and great-great-grandkids, instead of dying alone in the middle of the night in the hospital hooked up to tubes in which the doctors are trying to get every last penny out of your health care.
Okay. So, realistically, how can the system be changed to one of prevention, as I said in the promo? By the way, I want to ask you this question before we go too far. You heard that promo.
Yes.
Do you think I was a little harsh and a little extreme on that promo?
No. I think you were too kind, actually. I think you weren't extreme enough.
Jeez. Okay. For those of you who are wondering, the person that we are speaking with today is Dr. Joel Wallach, and he is a veterinarian and physician and an alternative health care specialist of gargantuan proportions.
Well, thank you, and duly licensed in the state of California.
That's right, huh? In fact, when we first became acquainted, naturopaths were not recognized as primary care physicians in California, correct?
That's correct. And we're still not quite there yet. We have a couple of steps to go before they'll recognize us as primary care health care providers.
Yeah.
But we are licensed health care providers. Before, we were just sort of everybody would turn their eyes and call us, herbalists and homeopaths and things like that, when in fact we get the same exact training as MDs. But we in Oregon, where I'm also licensed, I continue to be licensed since I was initially licensed back in 1982, 27 years ago. We are full primary care physicians. We can do everything that a medical doctor does in the state of Oregon, and we can do that in all the New England states. We can do that in Arizona. We can do it in Montana and Alaska and Washington State. And we are full primary care physicians. And although we can do surgery and write prescriptions for chemotherapy and so forth, we choose to do the non-damaging approach, low-tech, safe approach, which actually is much more efficient, much more economical, and certainly much better result than pharmaceuticals.
Naturopathic school, is that a four-year process?
It's a four-year school. It's fully recognized by the U.S. Department of Education. We're accredited by the U.S. Department of Education, just like medical schools. We have to be accredited by them every year.
Yeah.
And so as a result, we can get federal student loans and everything. And, of course, you have to have a four-year degree, a pre-med degree, just like you do with medical school.
Is it easier or harder or the same to get into naturopathic medical
college?
Well,
it's actually harder. We used to say when I got into veterinary school that most people who tried for veterinary school and couldn't pass muster and get accepted into veterinary school would then go and try for medical school and get in.
Wow.
And so with the same thing with naturopathic doctors, because to be a naturopathic doctor, you have to know everything that a medical doctor does plus everything that a naturopathic doctor does, where medical doctors only have to know what they do. They don't know anything about what naturopathic doctors do.
Right. You could have gone to medical school, certainly, and you chose not to.
Yeah, well, basically, I could have gone. I would have been accepted as the top student in Harvard Medical School or Yale or University of California medical school systems, at any school anywhere, because I had straight A's through agricultural school. I had straight A's through veterinary school, and I was a postdoctoral fellow in comparative pathology. When the time came, I already had done 20,000 autopsies, 17,500 and over 400 species of zoo animals, and 3,000 humans. Today I've done over just short of 5,000 human autopsies.
Now, when you say stuff like that, some people turn off because they say, wait a minute. I mean, that's crazy. That sounds like it's got to be.
Well, the book that came out of that, Michael, is in the Smithsonian Institute, so somebody believes me.
Yeah, right. And what is that book?
It's called The Diseases of Exotic Species.
Uh-huh.
And it was actually part of a big National Institutes of Health grant that Marlon Perkins from the old Mutual Omaha Wild Kingdom got. And most people don't know this, why they chose me to be the chief pathologist, in fact, the only pathologist in the whole system. And that was a $7.5 million grant, started out as a $7.5 million grant, which is a lot of money. Just Trump changed today, but back then in the early 60s, it was a lot of money.
Yeah.
And it went up to $25 million to finish the thing because we were doing such good work. Now, the reason why they chose me, nobody ever asked, well, why did they choose you? Of all the people in the world they could have chosen to do that, to be that pathologist, why did they choose you?
Yeah,
and
why?
I forget that piece all the time. Well, here's why. Well, I started, you know, in agriculture school, as you know. And when I was a sophomore in ag school, I said, well, listen, I'm just a dumb farm kid from Missouri. And so I better start figuring out what I'm going to do to apply to veterinary school, which was my ultimate goal. So when I was a sophomore, second year of ag school, I decided to try to apply and go through the system so I would be practiced when I graduated and know what I was doing, right?
Yeah.
And it shocked me that I got accepted into veterinary school because I was straight A's and you know, agricultural chemistry and organic chemistry, which almost nobody ever got an A in. I got straight A's and all that, organic chemistry. And so I got accepted into veterinary school right away, and they said, look, you don't have to finish ag school if you don't want. We'll just, you know, because you had such high grades, you know, we'll just take you as a sophomore. They said, no, I want to finish the degree.
Yeah.
So I finished the degree when I was a sophomore in veterinary school then. I finished my degree, and so as a sophomore in veterinary school, I became a graduate student.
Oh.
And I started taking graduate courses in pathology, which I like, because you can always find the answer when you're doing an autopsy. When you're a clinician, if you don't know what you're looking for, you can miss it by 1,000 miles, which most doctors do. 65% of all people who die were never treated by the thing for the thing that they were killed by. But anyway, as a sophomore veterinary student, I'm now a graduate student. So I take all these pathology courses from the U.S. Armed Forces Department of, what is it, the Armed Forces Institute of Pathology. So I'm doing human autopsies when I'm a sophomore veterinary student.
Okay.
Okay. And there was a big, I guess I was a junior in veterinary school, and I'd already had enough courses in human pathology and veterinary pathology. I mean, these are big five-hour courses with lab work, and these are big courses right from the U.S. Armed Forces Institute of Pathology. And this is world stuff. I mean, we're talking about pandemics and killer viruses and plagues and those parasites and all that kind of stuff, exotic things that the military were suffering from. And a guy loses 1,000 feeder sheep who are like 6 months old in one night.
Yeah.
Which never happens. Even if it's a plague, they, you know, a few hundred will die here, then a 50 will die here, but never all 1,000 in one night. And so I got the case. It was my luck of the draw. And when I started doing autopsy, they backed up to the lab with his dump truck and dumped 50 sheep, you know, in there. So I did the autopsy on 50 sheep that day. And all of them, the only thing I could find, they were perfect. They were perfectly healthy. The only thing they all had was a goiter, which should have, their thyroid gland should be the two lobes the size of lima beans.
Yeah.
Well, their two lobes were the size of plums and looked like blackberry jelly. So, well, they had terrible advanced goiter, but even that wouldn't kill them all at one night unless there was something else going on. So why would all 50 of them have goiter? Well, it turns out that they were being given water from a well that was contaminated with nitrites from nitrate fertilizer in the next farm, and that caused the goiter. Nitrates and nitrites will cause goiter. And we find them in our human food in the form of deli slices,
sure,
and sausage, ham, bacon, bologna, salami, pastrami, pepperoni, jerky, and corned beef. When you read the labels on those packaged meats, you will see nitrates and nitrites as the last two ingredients in the label. They cause goiter. Well, hypothyroidism is the second most prescribed heart disease in the United States, only second to high blood pressure. It's because everybody's eating these meats that have nitrates and nitrites in them. So anyway, the reason why a thousand of them died in one night was they had a cold snap. It was in the fall, I guess, September, October, and they were used to 50, 60-degree weather, and it got down to like 10 below, or overnight. It was just sort of an instant environmental temperature crash, and these thousand sheep couldn't keep their body temperature up, and they just died of hypothermia.
Wow.
And so I wrote that up, and it was an internationally shocking article. It was written up in the National Journal of the American Journal of the Veterinary Association, American Veterinary Association, JAVMA instead of JAMA, JAVMA.
Yeah.
And it was a darling, one of those darling articles that everybody, you know, tens of thousands of people wanted copies of it. Because it was one of the first environmental pollution articles ever written in the United States.
1960-something?
It was in 1962.
Uh-huh.
1962, because I was a sophomore in veterinary school.
Right.
And that's why they picked me to be the pathologist on this pollution program. This was actually a grant. Marlon Perkins wrote the grant, along with Barry Commoner, who is the chairman of the botany department at
wow.
Washington University.
Who ran for president.
Who ran for president,
yeah.
right?
Uh-huh.
Twice.
Yeah, great.
Isn't that neat?
Well, I always wondered. Now I know.
Now you know why I was chosen.
Yeah, you'd have chosen.
And
you'd
see,
have chosen.
I did 50 autopsies in that one day there.
Yeah.
And these are complete autopsies. This isn't just, you know, cutting them open and puddling around the guts. This is you take, you know, probably on each one of those sheep I had to do 50 separate chemistries to try and track down what was causing everything. I took 100 samples of each organ and tissue in the body.
You have to admit that that's pretty amazing. That one person can do that in such a short period of time. We're talking with Dr. Joel Wallach here on the Saturday special, and we're up against the news in 15 seconds. So, and there's a whole hour remaining next hour between 12 noon and 1 p.m. Pacific time here, right here on your favorite radio station. KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It's 11 a.m. back in 6 minutes.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen Riegel. Fox News confirming the suspect in what appears to be an attempted terror attack was known to the United States for at least 2 years. The 23-year-old Nigerian is described as being someone with loose ties to terrorists or extremists. Passengers aboard yesterday's Northwest Airlines flight from Amsterdam to Detroit say they heard Umar Farouk Abdul Muttalib scream as he attempted to light explosives.
Yeah, this whole thing with Afghanistan.
Passengers tackled the suspect and brought him down. Now Washington is asking questions, and passengers are going to have to put up with some new rules. Live now to the nation's capital and Fox News Radio's Rich Johnson.
Indeed, Karen, if you're heading to a flight, be prepared to sit and sit. You will be told to stay in your seat for the final hour of your flight. You will not be allowed access to your carry-on luggage, and you may not have any personal items on your lap. Air Canada posted on its website these new rules for its U.S.-bound flights that it says come from the U.S. Transportation Security Administration. Also, Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano saying in a statement, be observant, be aware, and report any suspicious activity. Karen?
Rich, thank you. Soon to arrive in Afghanistan, 30,000 more troops.
Camp Leatherneck, the base where all 8,500 surge Marines will arrive.
This is going to be the place where Marines, sailors can come in order to do their initial training before moving forward to those bases.
Bases out in the field across southern Afghanistan to help hold places cleared of Taliban and let Afghanistan's government restore essential services.
That's Fox News Radio's Alistair Wanklin. He's reporting from Camp Leatherneck in Afghanistan. An explosion in Pakistan in the city of Karachi, which is Pakistan's most populous city. At least 19 are hurt. No word on why. Police are trying to figure out if this was an accident or deliberate. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
You're in the Fox Light.
U2 is this year's top grossing act, raking in more than $300 million for their 360 tour. Madonna was a distant second, followed by Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band. This year's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame class has been announced and includes ABBA, The Stooges, and Genesis. The induction ceremony is set for March 15th. Gibson wrote his next starring vehicle, How I Spent My Summer Vacation, tells the story of a career criminal who winds up in a Mexican jail. Behind the camera, his next project is directing Leonardo DiCaprio in a Viking flick.
I'm a wake-up call. This is a rebirth.
And Up in the Air is on cloud nine after leading this year's Golden Globe nominations with 6, ahead of Avatar, The Hurt Locker, and Inglourious Basterds.
Sound good?
Yes, sir!
In Hollywood, Adam Housley, Fox News.
The Fox Light.
Keep listening for more Focus from the Fox Light on Fox News Talk.
A white Christmas is pretty to look at, all that snow falling on pine trees and what have you, but it's not so pretty to shovel.
2 feet of snow and counting since Christmas Eve in parts of the northern plains, hitting hard in Duluth, Minnesota.
Horrible. About as bad as you can imagine.
We're going to stay home.
It's a Christmas adventure.
And it's not over yet. Blizzard warnings posted for parts of 7 states, the Dakotas, Nebraska, Wyoming, Iowa, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. Massive snowdrifts and whiteout conditions in the forecast. The storm already hitting as far south as Oklahoma and North Texas. Ron Flatter, Fox News Radio.
Israeli forces have killed 6 in Gaza. Those deaths make this one of the bloodiest days since the latest Israeli-Palestinian conflict began a year ago in Gaza. Pope Benedict is out and about and looking well, considering.
On the Feast of St. Stephen, the first Christian martyr, Pope Benedict XVI tells pilgrims in St. Peter's Square that the child in the manger asks Christians today to give courageous witness to his gospel. Benedict also prays for Christians around the world who still suffer persecution for their faith. The Pope is keeping to his schedule of public appearances during these days, despite a scary attack on Christmas Eve in which a woman who leapt over the barrier and got by security yanked him to the ground at the start of Mass. In Rome, Greg Burke, Fox News Radio.
Nevada's governor will be in court next week, not for political matters, but for a divorce trial from his wife. Political observers say the trial will offer plenty of gossip as intimate details become public and the possessions of a marriage that lasted 23 years are divided. Governor Gibbons has been plagued with scandal, including alleged affairs with a Playboy model, I should say, and others. If a settlement is reached before the trial begins, no dirty laundry will be aired. Gibbons is running for re-election, not doing well in the polls. Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You're tuned in to KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James, and I've got your Central Coast forecast right here for the weekend. Looks like we're going to have cloudy skies this afternoon with a few showers and a high of 59. The south-southeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, cloudy with showers and a low of 43. Southeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. And Sunday, cloudy, few showers, high of 62 with light winds. Out there on the Monterey Bay, the southeast winds will be between 5 and 10 knots. Wind waves less than 2 feet, west swell 5 to 7 feet at 15 seconds with a slight chance of rain. Tonight, south winds 5 to 10 knots, becoming southeast after midnight. The wind waves less than 2 feet, west swell 8 to 10 feet at 16 seconds. Sunday, southeast winds 5 to 10 knots, wind waves less than 2 feet. And a west swell of 8 to 10 feet at 16 seconds. Also have current temperatures here for you. We got Watsonville at 47 degrees. In Monterey, it's 52. Salinas, 49 degrees. Here in Santa Cruz, right outside our studio, it's 50 degrees. Official time, 11:06 and 25 seconds on this Saturday, December 26, 2009. Up next, we got the second hour of the Saturday special with MZ and Dr. Wallach. Stay tuned. KSCO Santa Cruz, I'm Nikki James.
Okay, I promise. We'll take some phone calls in hour number two. I promise.
Promise?
Yeah, they were probably bugging you saying, I want to get on, right?
Yeah, you guys were monopolizing the airwaves.
Okay. Well, we'll do a better job of not monopolizing.
It's all good.
Yeah, very good. Okay, well, let us start hour number two officially by hitting this button here. Yeah, there we go.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSCO has the inside track.
Okay, we've been talking about the healthcare situation in our country, why it is the way it is, and where we're going with Dr. Wallach. So there's another hour.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
Now, I understand that we do indeed have a world premiere of a...
KSCO AM 1080, the station for intelligent people only.
Stupid people must tune to another station immediately.
Oh, yeah, that's right. What's going on here? I can't keep the computer from... Okay, there, I finally stopped it. So, Nikki, do I understand we have a K's commentary?
Yeah, we do.
A world premiere, okay, and it happens to be on the topic we're talking of today, so...
Perfect.
Let her rip.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is K's Whirling.
While discussing the issue with my friend the other day, I think we have found the solution. I'm sure you've heard the idea that if you're a senior, you need to suck it up and give up the idea that you need any health care. A new hip? Unheard of. We simply can't afford to take care of you anymore. You do not need any medications for your high blood pressure, diabetes, heart problems, etc. Let's take care of the young people, after all. They will be ruling the world very soon. So, here's the solution, but remember, it's really facetious and not for real. When you turn 70, you get a gun and 3 bullets. You're allowed to shoot 1 senator and 2 representatives. Of course, you will be sent to prison, where you will get 3 meals a day, a roof over your head, and all the health care you need. New teeth? Great. Need glasses? No problem. Need a hip, knee, kidney, lungs, heart? Well, bring it on. And who will be paying for all this? The same government that just told you that you're too old for health care. And since you're a prisoner, you don't have to pay any income tax. How about that? And now, how about this little gem? Which is for real, deep, and thoughtful. Thanks to Gene Sandin for this one and many of the others we shared with our listeners because they always struck an emotional or human note. This is called, you have to love this, God Said No. I asked God to take away my habit. He said, no, it's not for me to take away. It's for you to give it up. I asked God to make my handicapped child whole. God said no. His spirit is whole. His body is only temporary. So I asked God to grant me patience. God said no. Patience is a byproduct of tribulations. It is not granted. It is learned. I asked God to give me happiness. God said, no. I give you blessings. Happiness is up to you. So I asked God to spare me pain. God said, no. Suffering draws you apart from worldly cares and brings you closer to me. I asked God to make my spirit grow. God said, no. You must grow on your own, but I will prune you to make you fruitful. So I asked God for all things that I might enjoy life. God said, no, I will give you life so that you may enjoy all things. Then I asked God to help me love others as much as he loves me. God said, finally you have the idea. This day is yours. Don't throw it away. To the world, you might be one person, but to one person, you just might be the world. Good friends are like stars. We don't always see them, but you know they're always there. Isn't this priceless? For KSCO, this is Kay's Whirling.
Wow, powerful stuff. Thanks, Ma. It's 11:12 on AM 1080 KSCO. Let's bring Doc Wallach back on here. You there, Doc?
I'm here.
Okay. So you heard that probably.
Yeah,
it's the first time I've heard
it. Your mom did a great job.
Yeah, very appropriate for the subject today. Hated to cut in here, but the alligator got us at the top of the hour last hour. We like to be interactive as much as possible on this station. On the other hand, we're covering a lot of ground here, and maybe it's better that we don't open the phone lines quite
well,
so soon.
Why don't we open the phone lines up at the bottom of the hour or something like that?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Because there's a few pieces because we really haven't got to the meat of the story. This has all been leading up to the bottom line here.
Okay, good.
One more piece of legislation that my crew dug up here, and that is requirements for individuals. Remember, we're not going to tax anybody, right? I don't know where the money's coming from. I'm saying it says all Americans, this is the House bill, all Americans would be required to have health insurance by 2013 or would face a 2.5% income tax surcharge. The Senate version says all Americans will be required to have coverage by 2014 or would be fined $95 in 2014. $350 in 2015, $750 in 2016, and higher earners, whatever that means, would pay 2% of their income as a surcharge if they don't choose to take insurance. Now, is having a naturopathic doctor or a Chinese traditional medical doctor going to have them run your taxes up by 2.5%. Now, let me tell you my personal story here. I think this is appropriate. I just turned 70, okay? I'm 70 years old. The last time that I saw a doctor with me being the patient, Michael, was 56 years ago. When you look at my medical data, my bone density and my blood pressure and all my blood values are that of an 18-year-old. My medical data, my physiological data based on independent stuff, blood tests, blood pressure, bone density by actual machine and all that kind of stuff, hostile doctors, is that of an 18-year-old male athlete. I'm 70 years old. I haven't been to a doctor in 56 years. Now, I'm not dumb, so I do what I can do. Every 3 months, I give myself a free physical. I go to these drugstores where you sit in the chair and I put my arm in that little machine and push the button. And my blood pressure is 121 over 71. My resting pulse is 47. When I was on the wrestling team when I was a kid, my resting pulse was 38. All right? I was taking vitamins and minerals since I was 9 years old. Actually, perhaps younger than that, but I know for sure when I was 9 years old, I started taking all the known vitamins and minerals at that time. Then, in addition to taking my own blood pressure and pulse, I get the test strips from the pharmacy. Cost you $1.50 each. Which you can pee on them, and these multi-strips they can tell if you have sugar or protein or blood or infection or ketone bodies in your urine.
Can you get those anywhere?
Oh, yeah, any pharmacy. Over the counter, no need for prescription. And you can get these little test strips and these sterile finger lancets to determine if you have diabetes or what your blood cholesterol is. And you don't even need a machine because on the label of the bottles of the test strips, they actually have these sort of like a rainbow of colors from the very light to the very dark, and it gives you what your values are at the various colors. You just got to match the color, you know, eyeball match the color intensities of each to the test strips. Now, if you get the expensive test strips, they're like $1.78 a piece instead of $1.50. It'll also give you liver function and kidney function.
I want to get some of those.
Yeah, you just go to the store and you know the drugstore and you know
and ask for
you want the multi strips for urine and for blood.
Okay.
And they keep them behind the counter because little old people steal them.
Oh.
Or they keep them locked up in a plexiglass thing where you can actually read the labels, but you have to ask for them because you know they're easy for little old people with their shopping bags to pilfer. So they put them behind lock and key, but you do not require a prescription to get them. So for less than $5, I get a physical every 3 months. Four times a year, I give myself a physical for less than $5. There's emergency dental repair kits. If your crown falls off, your root canal goes bad, or your fillings fall out, for $3.79 at any superstore, like a Walmart or a Costco's or Sam's Club or any of those kind of things, Kmart's, you get these little bubble packages with an emergency dental repair kit for $3.79, and those dental repairs will last you 10 years for $3.79. There's no $20 surcharge and all that stuff. That's why I say we could get away with everybody getting $5,000 deductible. Catastrophic health insurance for catastrophic events.
Right.
And the daily care should be left up to everybody else. And the information has been there for 10,000 years. It's very simple.
It would take an enormous educational effort, right, to get people.
It would take people stopping wanting entitlements.
Uh-oh.
People are going to have to stop getting everything for free from the government because somebody has to pay.
Okay. Well,
there's the rub.
There's the rub.
There's the kink in the system. Is that everybody's going to have to give up their entitlement.
I hate to say it. I don't think it's going to happen.
That won't happen if that's the way to go. And so petitioning the government to make this happen, you're wasting your time, your money, your shoe leather. You're not going to do it. It'll be 10,000 generations, and that will never happen. So here's the way to make it happen. Here's a realistic way to happen. The Revolutionary War was actually started. The revolution against the British was actually started with like 3% of the population. 97% of the people just wanted to be good citizens of King George and get the protection of King George and get all the goods shipped in by King George, including tea and all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
It was just this little band of rebels, primarily led by a guy by the name of Sam Adams, who was the real rebel. He was the one who started the war, actually. He single-handedly started the war but with the Boston Tea Party.
Yeah.
You know, if the king would have just sent the captain around hammering up posters on trees and walls saying, 10 shillings for information leading to the identification, arrest, and successful prosecution of the perpetrators of the Boston Tea Party. If that's all he did, we'd still be British citizens. But he passed the five intolerable acts, which included boycotting or blockading Boston Harbor, and so the goods couldn't come in and goods couldn't go out. Martial law, and a British officer, military officer, took over being the mayor of Boston and the governor of Massachusetts. And that was enough to get all the other colonies to say, oh, that doesn't look good. They were martial law. They could shoot anybody for spitting on the sidewalk or looking cross-eyed at a British soldier, which they did. They hung a lot of people who were just really innocent people. And so that ticked off the rest of the 12 colonies, and they banded together for the first time. I mean, they've been arguing for hundreds of years. And that one incident, the king overreacted. And that then got all the colonies to coalesce. Well, what's going to have to happen here is there's going to be a small band of men and women who say, well, we're just not going to do this. We're going to go to jail. We're going to claim religious exemptions and test it in the courts. There's going to be this small band of people who take care of themselves, like myself. I have actually cheated the medical system out of about $4 million by not going to a doctor for 56 years. Mm-hmm. Not having any, I went to Mexico and I bought $8 worth of antibiotics in case I ever need them. Never have opened the bottle. I've got, and I travel a lot. I don't want to be going to some strange doctor somewhere.
Does it expire?
Well, every 4 years I throw that bottle away and go to Mexico and get another one for
$8. Yeah.
So $8
so
every.
You do not participate in.
I do not participate in
big pharma.
The system.
Well, especially big pharma, which is the basis of the whole system.
The most exotic thing that I've used is some cold medicine, because when I give a lecture, I can't be coughing and dripping all over the place with a snotty nose. And so I take some of these over-the-counter cold medicines, which are predictable. I know exactly when to take them. It keeps me with a dry, anti-drippy nose for 3 hours.
Hey, why do you ever get colds at all?
Well, when I get a cold, it's kind of like for 3 days. I haven't been laid up. I give 300 lectures a year, Michael. I haven't missed a lecture in 40 years.
Yep, the show must go on.
The show must go on. You know that.
I do know that.
Think about it. I haven't been sick in 56 years.
Well, I believe you, but I can vouch for the last 15 of them.
Yeah. You can personally vouch for that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so everybody in America could have the same health. Just think about it. I'm chronologically 70, but biologically I'm 18. It has all kinds of good benefits. No ED medicine here.
Oh. Wow, that's got to be the best thing of all.
That's got to be the best thing, right?
Right.
And so no
ED medicine.
No ED medication. No, you know, no need for Viagra and what's the other one? Cina, whatever it is.
Cialis,
yeah. Or Bob stuff, whatever Bob is selling on TV.
Don't forget Levitra. No, that's member enlargement, what Bob sells.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, member enlargement.
Well, we have a large group, and we get more members every day.
That's true.
But anyway, what I'm saying is here, just think, if everybody in America would have done what I've done over the last 56 years, what's 300 million times 4 million?
1 trillion, $1.2 trillion.
$1.2 trillion, yeah. Which is half of what the government spends every year.
No, $12.2 trillion.
Oh, $12.2 trillion. Yeah. Get the decimal point right, otherwise you'll be like a doctor.
Now you be nice. The doctors aren't—they're just trained by the pharmaceutical system. That's the problem. You come across as someone who doesn't like medical doctors.
I love medical. I married a surgeon who taught microsurgery at Harvard. I mean, there's a lot of good people who are medical doctors who, as an individual, they're very nice.
Yeah.
You know, they love their kids and their grandkids, and they donate time to the church, and they donate time to the food lines at the Salvation Army during Christmas, and they do nice deeds. They, in fact, there was a thing in the USA Today last week. They had 35 facial pictures of kids with terrible cleft palates. And for a donation of $250 to this organization, they will surgically attempt to fix those kids, you know, $250 each. Because there are some surgeons who donate their time to do that.
Uh-huh.
Conversely, if every woman were to take, you know, less than $1 a day worth of the Mighty 90, all the known essential nutrients, we'd never again have a kid born with a cleft palate or a cleft lip. It's totally a nutritional deficiency during pregnancy. We never have a kid born with a heart defect. We never have a kid born with spina bifida or any other neuro tube defect or Down syndrome or muscular dystrophy or cystic fibrosis. And so I have to waggle my fingers at the OBGYNs as a group. Because they start seeing girls who begin to cycle and go through puberty when they're that age, and when they're sexually or potentially sexually active, they should be put on the complete vitamins and minerals at that age, and we would never again have a kid born with a birth defect. Never. It is that simple, Michael, and these are the sort of thing. It would save the government an enormous amount of money. It would save individuals and their insurance policies an enormous amount of money. It would save families a lifetime of unnecessary misery. And so why don't we do it? Well, that's because everybody's locked into pharmaceutical and insurance entitlement. Nobody wants to take responsibility, and, of course, that is perpetuated.
Even conservative people, huh?
Yeah, and it's perpetuated by people in political power who sell their vote for promises of continued entitlement.
Wow. Okay, Nikki, we missed the commercial break last hour, so we got to do two of them this hour. Let's do one now, and when we come back, we will open the phone line. So start dialing now if you want to talk to Doc Wallach, 479-1080 in area 831. If you're outside of 831 area code, you can call 831 first. You can email mz@ksco.com, and we will be back right after this first commercial break. Stay with us.
Hi, Tim Whitlow from Whitlow Concrete. Pleased to sponsor this portion of the Saturday special on KSCO AM 1080. Get ideas for your project from our website, whitlowconcrete.com, and call us at 475-4499 for a free quote. That's 475-4499.
What connects you to your doctor? Our guess, it's the relationship you've built together, the quality of care you receive, and that your doctor lives and works in this community. That's why, if you're Medicare eligible, you should consider enrolling in a Medicare Advantage plan accepted by PMG, Physicians Medical Group of Santa Cruz County. By enrolling in a Medicare Advantage plan with Physicians Medical Group, you're assured affordable, preventive, and routine medical care. This plus access to over 300 local physicians and 42 specialties, both state-of-the-art hospitals, and convenient walk-in care. And best of all, it's all provided by a PMG primary care physician or specialist who, like you, is proud to call Santa Cruz County home. Visit us online or call 465-7800 to learn more. Your doctor, your plan.
Medicare Advantage with PMG, Physicians Medical Group of Santa Cruz County.
Did you know that vitamin D is a hormone? Your heart, bones, and immune system completely depend on it. But studies say that most Americans do not get enough vitamin D. More and more doctors are telling us we need a vitamin D supplement. Why? Between working indoors and using all that sunscreen, we don't get enough sunshine on our skin to trigger its production. So what do you do when you can't change your lifestyle? Sip of Sunshine to the Rescue, created by America's health diva, Suzanne Summers. Suzanne knows good health and believes she created just what the doctor ordered. Sip of Sunshine is a powerful and delicious strawberry lemonade drink that's better than any soft drink. It's got all the cofactors to bring vitamin D3 to every cell in your body. So refreshing, and no artificial sweeteners. Take a break. Relax away stress and aging with B vitamins and the body's most powerful antioxidant, SOD. Treat yourself today. Call us now, toll free. 888-245-0300. That's 888-245-0300.
If electricity flows through it, you can do it with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics. Hello, Charlie Friedman speaking up for the experts of electricity at Santa Cruz Electronics. Listen to what your friends and neighbors do with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Interfacing an HPLC with a mass spectrometer.
Microwave repair.
Robotic arm with controller for eShed industrial arm.
Tesla coil for my rail gun.
Dead tricks upgrades.
Drive for a telescope.
A tube amp for my guitar.
Submersible sensors for NASA.
Ethernet cable for my new iMac.
Solar-powered gate.
Instrument panel for an airplane.
Wiring my hot rod.
Upgrading PC system.
Help with home wiring.
Custom audio cables for recording studio.
High-voltage electronic ignition circuit.
Building a spaceship.
If electricity flows through it, you can do it. With the help of Santa Cruz Electronics, call Santa Cruz Electronics today at 831-479-5444. That's 479-5444. Or visit at 2808 Soquel Avenue in Santa Cruz. You can do it with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Hey gals, Phyllis Anderson here. Have you ever looked at women on TV and thought, I wish my skin looked like that? How do they do it? Really good makeup, that's how. Well, Dr. Wallach, the mineral doctor, has brought us Pure Mineral Makeup. Other brands contain heavy metals, dyes, and fillers you might not want on your face. Yes, we all want to look good, but we also want to protect our skin, keep it young, and keep out toxins. Now, I never used to wear foundation. My skin looked fine, and who wants to smear glop on your face and wear a mask all day? Well, one day I looked in the mirror and saw lots of brown spots from sun exposure. I tried the Youngevity Mineral Makeup and was thrilled. It's so easy to use and feels lighter than air. My skin looks perfect. The brown spots have faded back and my skin has actually improved. Makeup is fun again. Ladies, once you try Youngevity Mineral Makeup, there's no going back. You won't want to leave home without it. Call us now, toll free. 888-245-0300. That's 888-245-0300.
It's time to unravel the mysteries of health coverage with Pamela Fugit-Hetrick of DCD Financial and Insurance Services, an authorized independent agent for Anthem Blue Cross.
Health coverage plans are a lot like cable TV options. The least expensive plans give you the basic coverage. The most expensive plans give you all the bells and whistles. If you don't like paying for all the bells and whistles, consider a health savings account eligible plan, or HSA. HSA premiums can be up to 50% less, and the HSA account provides a federal tax-free way to save for future health expenses. Use the power of my experience as a health insurance professional. We'll talk over the quotes and make sure that you choose the best coverage at the most affordable rates.
Unravel the mysteries of your health coverage with Pamela Fugit-Hetrick of DCD Financial and Insurance Services. Go to healthexchangeforall.com for a free quote and then give Pamela a call. That's healthexchangeforall.com.
California Insurance License 0D75558. Anthem Blue Cross is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross Association.
Welcome back to hour number two of your Saturday special, MZ with Doc Wallach. And let's go to the phone lines. 479-1080 is the phone number to call in area 831 if you want to join the potty here. Here's Rich in Salinas. Rich, welcome to KSCO. You're on.
Yeah, good morning. I was just curious. I had called before and talked to you about Codex Elementarius, Michael, and if you ever got a hold of Ben Fuchs on that. And how is that going to affect our access to vitamins, because that's supposed to be taking effect.
Good Doc Wallach question. Quick, Doc, what do you think?
Okay, well, basically, that law was initiated by German pharmaceutical companies
because they're not dumb. They know that you can prevent and cure diseases with vitamins and minerals. So to keep the pharmaceutical industry alive, Germany, which has been the leader in pharmaceuticals since the very beginning, in fact, the pharmaceutical industry financed World War I and World War II for the Germans during their wars in that time.
Bayer.
And it was part of the reparations. We took over those pharmaceutical companies when we won the wars. But at any rate, the Codex Alimentarius causes you to have over-the-counter vitamins and minerals. For instance, you won't be able to get a vitamin C capsule stronger than 15 milligrams. If you want 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C, you got to go to a doctor and get a prescription. Well, that's all through Europe. It's in Canada. And, of course, I think that the AARP, the Grey Panthers, and everybody else here would object to that. And so it will be a fight, and it is a potential danger. Certainly for manufacturers of vitamins and minerals in this company, it's problematic because you have to make two batches, one with a capsule of 500 milligrams of vitamin C in it for Americans and one with 15 milligrams of vitamin C in it for Germans and English and French and Canadians. So it is problematic for us to export stuff out of the country, and it is because then you have to make two different batches, and then it is problematic if they ever get such a law here. And it's been swirling around since the 1940s. Here in this country, because doctors have always wanted vitamins and minerals to be prescription. And if we want troubles bigger than we have, let them do that. You know, we've seen a slight drop, a measurable drop in the cancer rates and the heart attack rates, heart disease rates in America. And, of course, doctors beat their chest and the pharmaceutical industry beats their chest saying, see what testing does? See what these pharmaceuticals do? Well, no, it's because more and more people are taking vitamins and minerals, and in particular selenium, and they are reducing the risk of cancer and reducing the risk of heart disease. There's no pharmaceutical that will prevent heart disease. There's no pharmaceutical or doctor's visit that will prevent cancer.
And how many billions of dollars a day does Lipitor generate?
Oh, it's a profit, depending on the country, it's a profit of $2 to $5 trillion per company. $2 to $5 trillion on that one drug, Lipitor.
What a friggin' dupe.
Remember, we dropped from 17th in 1990 to 50th in 2009 using those systems. So obviously not the recipe.
I trust my heart to Lipitor, Dr. Jarvik.
We don't see that anymore because...
Yeah, you do. I saw it the other day. I saw it the other day on the TV.
Well, you don't see it. I don't know. Because they had to take that off of there because that was not his body and everything like that. And they put his, you know, through computers, they put his head on somebody else's body when he was riding the bicycle.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I saw something the other day. Anyhow, I love my doctor, but he wanted me to take Lipitor years ago, and I said, nope, I'm not going to do it.
And then your doctor died.
No, he's okay. He's great. But anyhow, I just say no, especially with it's in the disclosures and the commercials. It actually says there is nothing that shows that this prevents heart attacks. So how does this duping get perpetuated? I don't understand. I wish there was a lot more time for this program. We still have to do another commercial break. And want to thank Rich for his phone call. I want to go to Craig in Campbell. Craig, welcome to the Saturday special with Doc Wallach and MZ.
Yeah, hey, Michael.
Hey.
Got a couple questions for Doc there. Quick thing about the wise men. If you ask any of these scholars, they always say that these wise men were from either Medo-Persia or Babylon, which is like modern-day Iran and Iraq.
Exactly, yeah.
But I like that. I mean, when you look at the historical record, it says from the east, so why not China or India or Mongolia?
Exactly.
So they don't exactly know. But anyhow, a couple questions. One is, what do you do for – do you have an exercise program outside of maybe chasing your wife around or running after your grandkids? Or do you
– Okay, well, that's an excellent question because people say, well, you don't exercise. You don't belong to a gym. Well, I'll tell you, at age 70, I can run through the airport with two heavy – they're like 40-pound briefcases – which I have computers and all my presentations on, and you can't drag them behind you because people trip over them. And so I pick them up and I carry them from one concourse to the other, and I can run, literally run carrying them from one concourse to the other without getting breathless, and I'm 70 years old. I can stand and give a lecture for 3 hours every night, and actually I could give my lecture on 1 foot. You pick the foot, right foot, left foot. I give a lecture standing on one leg for 3 hours, okay, without having to sit down or lean against the wall or anything like that. Most 70-year-old people can't do that. Most 50-year-old people can't do that. And so I exercise daily by standing up and giving lectures, which is actually quite an exercise because, you know, you're not falling over and run through airports.
You actually sweat.
Yeah, I actually sweat, and unload and load trucks and that sort of thing. I don't belong to a gym, but I can do 25 push-ups. Back when I was a kid and on the captain of the wrestling team at the University of Missouri, I could do 100 push-ups, but now I can do 25. And because I don't pay much attention to that, I don't need arm strength anymore. But I lost 55 pounds over the last year, and because I was eating five meals a day, trying to be sociable with all these various meetings at breakfast and lunch and after dinner and midnight and with all these events going on.
55 pounds you lost?
Yeah, I lost 55 pounds. I weigh 165 now. I'd gotten up
to 210. I've seen him. He looks great.
I was actually pretty porky about a year ago.
Oh, it's kind of unbelievable. A guy like you let yourself go like
that. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Why did you do that?
Well,
and how did that happen?
Because I had all these events going on, and everybody wants to eat something, right? And so to be sociable, I'd order, you know, a bowl of chili or whatever, and it just sort of creeps up on you. And finally, one day, a little gal, a little old woman, she had to be in her 80s, all gnarled up, she poked her finger three times in my belly, you know, and she said, "You look like the Pillsbury Doughboy."
Oh, that's good.
That did it. That did it. And I said, "Oh, my God, I didn't realize that, you know."
Yeah. Hey, Doc, just one quick thing before my last question. I know you're heavily into the supplements. Okay, my health, the most important things in my health care system is the real vitamin C, you know, the fruit, food-derived vitamin C, not the ascorbic acid.
The food-derived vitamin C is best actually gotten from, rather than from oranges, is actually best gotten from
berries.
Spinach and actually spinach and dark green vegetables.
What
Except
about
they
berries?
Have oxalates, and oxalates are not good for people with kidney stones.
Uh-huh. Okay. Hey, I
know
have an animal question, if I could do it.
Quickly, go ahead.
Yeah, okay, well, the ticks are out with the vengeance this time of year, so I give these guys here, the two dogs, I have some pretty good homeopathic stuff that kind of, you know, keeps them at bay. It's not 100% foolproof. I just picked one out of them today, but they're really out there right now. And aside from putting on some really strong, odorous, smelly oils, herbal essence oils. Is there anything like in their diet?
Yeah, here's what you can do. Actually, there's some pretty nice things you can do quickly. And this is actually in my book. Let's Play Herbal Doctor. It's in there. There's actually a herb that comes from a little daisy flower. And this actually is in poultry dusting powder. It has no odor to it. And you can actually sprinkle this poultry dusting powder on dogs, and it'll get rid of fleas and ticks and throw it on the baseboards around the house. And just leave it set on the dog for an hour and then brush them, and it gets down in there. And just get these poultry dusting powders, because they can't have any chemicals in them because it gets into the eggs and the meat and everything.
Uh-huh.
And so you want to get the poultry dusting powders. And
that
it has
feed?
Yeah, it has this little daisy in there.
And there are any, like, animal feed places, huh?
Yeah, any animal feed places that will sell poultry dusting powder and supplements for cattle and horses and stuff.
Do they tell you how much to throw in their food, or how's that?
No, just pour it on them.
Oh, pour it on them.
Yeah,
okay.
just pour it on them. It's a dusting powder. You just pour it on them and brush it through their hair. And you can throw it in their bed and throw it on the rugs and along the baseboards where ticks and fleas get into. You'll be amazed how well that works.
Good.
Cool. Well, thanks a lot, guys.
Okay. All right, thanks for calling, Craig. Nice to hear from you. Here's Dan in Capitola. By the way, if you want to call us, it's 479-1080. And, Dan, you're on.
Yes, very interesting program. Something that came up in my thought process with hearing you say all this stuff is, what does genetics have to play with the whole deal, and do you have a pre-dealt deck of cards that is your deck different from mine? You know what I'm saying?
Okay, well, if you just look at, obviously, DNA, we're all different. However, with that said, over time, human beings are a pretty uniform, homogenous group. Just like dogs are a homogenous group. Now, I'll give a dog example first, because everybody would be familiar with this. Then I'll give you the human animal. Okay?
I do have something to add to this.
Okay, good. Okay, well, that's a very
not
basic
a hurry,
question.
Because we got a commercial break and a bunch of other stuff.
Well, the very basic answer is that if everybody takes the 90 essential nutrients that we know to be essential to humans, you will prevent as many as 900 different diseases. Now, there is another little piece. If you have an absorption problem, if you have celiac disease, or if you have hypochlorhydria, which is not enough stomach acid, or you're sensitive to wheat, gluten, barley, rye, and oats, and it changes your intestines so you can't absorb, that's going to have some impact. And as many as one out of three Americans has some form of celiac disease. But barring that, you can prevent up to 900 different diseases by supplementing with all the 90 essential nutrients, weight-appropriate dosages. Now, in dogs, we did that. It's very simple to control their kibbles and bits and their canned dog food. Everything that we need for a dog to be healthy is in that dog food. And we've been able to triple their lifespan. Back 70 years ago, an average dog eating table food off of the human table lived to be 8 to 10 years old. Today, they live to be 25. And this is, they have the capacity to get diabetes and arthritis and heart disease and cancer just like we do, but they don't because we put all these nutrients in there. And that's what brought me to this junction back in, 1962. I realized that we were doing all this for animals and nobody was doing it for people. And if we would just give people kind of the concept of all the known essential nutrients, that they would eliminate these 900 different diseases. And the people that I work with, I get them off of dialysis, and I get them, I save them from having to get double knee replacements just by giving them vitamin mineral supplements to regrow their cartilage, where doctors say it's impossible. In fact, the president of McDonald's, a guy by the name, I think it's Valdez or something like that, that's a Hispanic name, begins with a V, and he got 7 arthroscopic surgeries, double knee replacements, and he had to quit his billion-dollar-a-year job at age 55 because he's in such pain from his knee replacements. If he'd have come to me and I'd given him all the known essential nutrients in proper amounts, in 2 months' time, I'd have regrown the cartilage in his knees, and he'd be out walking around without a golf cart playing golf. But people make their choices, and even somebody who's business savvy as much as this guy, from the president of McDonald's Corporation, he fell into the clutches of orthopedic surgeons and said, we'll make you as good as new. Well, ask Bo Jackson about that. Well, if Bo Jackson would have come to me, he'd still be playing football and baseball. Okay, you can prevent and cure these diseases with vitamins and minerals, and genetics plays no part in it.
Okay, we thank Capitola Dan for his call. We've got Tommy in Seaside and Marshall in Santa Cruz. We will take those calls, but we do have a commercial break. Let's do that first. It's your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KFCO. We will be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
If you're planning an office party, a holiday gathering, or a New Year's celebration, remember, for a safe, fun, and festive way to celebrate the holidays, have plenty of Martinelli's Gold Medal Sparkling Cider on hand. Martinelli's, in the traditional champagne bottle, is the perfect choice for your holiday gatherings. It has all the elegance and sparkle of champagne, but without the alcohol. And you know, Martinelli's has the best flavor because it's made only from U.S.-grown fresh apples, not from foreign concentrate like most other brands. Martinelli's looks great, tastes great, and complements all your favorite foods, from party snacks and buffets to holiday dinners. Martinelli's, fun, festive, and non-alcoholic. Enjoy the original. Martinelli's Gold Medal Sparkling Cider, a family tradition since 1868.
This is Stephen Martinelli. I'm here with my son, John, the fourth generation president of our family's 140-year-old cider company.
All of us at Martinelli's wish you a safe and festive holiday season and a happy new year.
Your electrical problem is no problem when you call Direct Electric. Hello, I'm Priscilla Christie of Direct Electric.
And I'm Dave Christie. Whether your problem is a light switch, breaker box, meter main, or anything in between, Direct Electric technicians will fix it right the first time for the right price. And here's the best part. Direct Electric will not bill you for a service call.
I don't think they heard you, Dave. You better tell them again.
Okay. Direct Electric will not charge you for a service call.
And if you have an electrical emergency, call Direct Electric at 425-1407. I'll rouse Dave and he'll come running.
Priscilla is right. If you have a real electrical emergency, the kind that just can't wait till morning, call Direct Electric and we will come running.
Remember, your electrical problem is no problem when you call Direct Electric. I will take your call.
And I will make certain that your problem gets fixed. Call Direct Electric and ask for your Think Local First discount of $25. 425-1407.
Hi, folks. Warren Knox here of Knox Roofing. We all have been given the Bill of Rights drafted by our forefathers. They gave us liberties and freedom basic to our American way of life. Well, I decided to create the Bill of Rights with the relation to your home. Your home has basic rights. It has the right to stand there proudly. Your home has the right to a leak-proof, fireproof roof. Your home has the right to be properly ventilated to avoid musty, trapped air and mold. Your home has the right to be insulated against the elements of heat or cold. Your home has the right to look nice, to stand tall and proud. Your home has the right to be protected by warranties and companies willing to be able to be there on a moment's notice. Your home has rights against insect and critter invasion. You know, if your home could talk, I'll bet its rights would be violated in some way or another. Here at Knox Roofing, we're here to defend your home's rights. Just give us a call at 461-0634. Okay, thanks, folks.
Hi, everyone. Andy Anderson here. Are you using those little bottles of hand gel that kill germs, bacteria, and other nasties? In today's world, that's smart, especially with the filthy doorknobs, shopping carts, and handrails we touch every day. Did you know that once the alcohol evaporates in a few seconds, goodbye effectiveness. No more protection till you use it again. PureWorks to the rescue. Our FDA-compliant foam, lotion, soap, and spray do not contain alcohol. Their killing power lasts up to 4 hours. PureWorks disinfecting spray is EPA-certified to kill swine flu, bird flu, MRSA, HIV, hepatitis B and C, and for our friends in medicine, kills C. diff, along with a whole host of viruses and bacteria. Molds and fungus, too. It's even safe around pets and children. You'll love how your skin feels with PureWorks, soft and supple. No more dry skin. Here's to a little peace of mind knowing that your hands are still germ-free hours later. Call now, toll-free, 888-245-0300 to get your hands on PureWorks and get PureWorks on your hands. That's 888-245-0300.
It's time to unravel the mysteries of health coverage with Pamela Fugit-Hedrick of DCD Financial and Insurance Services, an authorized independent agent for Anthem Blue Cross.
It's becoming increasingly more difficult for hard-pressed businesses to maintain their employee health insurance plans. If you are a business person in search of lower-cost alternative, I may have the answer for you. This strategy can help your employees pay for individual or family health plans through payroll deductions, and these individual plans may cost as little as one-third the group plans. Use the power of my experience as a health insurance professional. We'll talk over the options to help your employees access their own individual health plan. I will make sure that they get the assistance that they need to choose the best coverage at the most affordable rates.
Unravel the mysteries of your health coverage with Pamela Fugit-Hedrick of DCD Financial and Insurance Services. Go to healthexchangeforall.com for a free quote and then give Pamela a call. That's healthexchangeforall.com.
California Insurance License 0D75558. Anthem Blue Cross is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross Association.
Can it be that there's fewer than 9 minutes left of the Saturday special? Oh, my God. What are we going to do?
Well, I guess we'll take, as we promised, we'll take Tommy in Seaside's call. Welcome to the Saturday special. Tommy, you're on with Doc Wallach and MZ.
Yes, MZ. How are you doing this morning?
Pretty good, Tommy. What's up?
Good. Doctor, I used to take your products about 20 years ago. Unfortunately, I moved to Texas for 20 years. I just recently moved back to the Central Coast. I'm wondering if you have a website where I can access your products, all your writings, books, and information like that.
Yeah, well.
Well, there's a jillion of them, actually. So, yeah.
Oh, okay.
shoot me an email. I'll direct you to one from this area here, okay?
Okay.
There you go.
MZ@KSCO.com. Yeah.
Okay, great.
Okay, that's it, Tommy. Good, you bet. Here's Marshall in Santa Cruz. Marshall, you're on with Doc Wallach at MZ.
Hey, I was listening to the KSCO early this morning, and I heard a replay of the Wellness Hour, or...
With Bernie and the Wellness Hour with Bernie and Friends. Was it a replay? Oh, okay. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they have this lawyer, Jonathan. I forgot his last
name. Jonathan Emord.
And you guys left out a piece of the puzzle because he said that the his way of putting it was the bureaucratic oligarchy called the FDA, and I'll add EPA, ATF. What's the radio and TV one?
FCC.
FCC. And the Federal Reserve are actually running the country.
Okay.
Well, it's true. They're rogue organizations because there's really no oversight of them.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And Congress is practically powerless. He put that in there that you can pass whatever law you want. And the EPA just proved that by saying that this cap and trade, which I never understood, is if you cap everything, what are you going to trade?
Money. Your money.
Yeah.
And you can pay for extra carbon.
Yeah. Anyhow,
what a joke.
Marshall, isn't Jonathan Emord an amazing human being?
Oh, man, what an articulate, great guy.
And all the money that
he's getting from selling his book, he's donating to suing the FDA.
Yeah, and Doc knows all about that because Doc and Jonathan have worked for years. In fact, may I say, Doc, that you introduced Jonathan to his wife.
His wife, yeah, I was the best man at his wedding.
Yeah. So, anyhow, there's such an amazing story that goes behind all this. I mean,
it was a great story this morning, too.
That, yeah.
Thanks for sharing.
Joel Wallach introduced someone to the lawyer.
That lawyer that you are raving about now is married to a person that Doc Wallach introduced him to. One of the distributors from way back, just like me. You know, except I haven't been introduced to anybody yet, Doc.
I'm working on it.
Can I ask a couple quick questions?
Yeah. Go ahead. Quick, Marshall.
You say $38 trillion is in debt over
the Medicare debt.
The Med?
Yeah, that's the Medicare debt. See,
Medicare
when
debt.
We treat all
who
these...
Who is that owed to?
Huh?
Who is that owed to?
Oh,
who
to China.
China?
Yeah, when they say we're borrowing money from China, the Chinese are paying the doctors and the pharmaceutical companies for our Medicare services to the seniors.
I've never heard that big of a number before.
$38
trillion. In Medicare.
That's right, Medicare.
Okay.
We owe $38 trillion in Medicare services already rendered. The Chinese have paid it for us, so we owe the Chinese that money.
All right.
Kind of scary,
hey, I have
isn't
to take lisinopril for high blood pressure. Is that a bad thing?
Yes, it is.
Okay, good enough.
Yeah, high blood pressure is a mineral deficiency. You take all the known essential nutrients with a heavy emphasis on calcium, and maybe some flavanols from dark chocolate. It'll go away.
Yeah. Okay, Marshall, thanks for your call. 11:55, 11:56 now. We've only got 4 minutes. We got Rory in Watsonville and Dan in Capitol. Don't know whether we're going to get to those. We will try. I want to grab this opportunity while I'm still thinking about it to direct your attention of everyone in KSCO land to our brand new and improved KSCO.com website. It's a little Spartan right now, but we're going to be adding features over the next few days and weeks and months and so forth. But for years and years, people have been telling us, we don't like your website. It's dog bleep. And so I said, okay, we'll fix that. And we have. We hired someone. We hired a company who has done a great job. And the first thing we want you to do is check it out at KSCO.com. And it's not the normal homepage that you're going to go to. Where it takes you right now, by design, because I asked that this be the first page, is a place to register, okay? I want to get as many people registering to become a user of the website. Doesn't mean you don't have to necessarily register to use the website, but if you want to be able to use all the functionality, then it's not going to charge and we're not going to sell your email addresses or anything like that, so don't worry about that. But if you... right now, while you're thinking about it, log on to ksco.com and register as a new user. It's absolutely free. It will always be. We want to get you in the fold here. So ksco.com. We're in the final 2.5 minutes or so of our visit with Dr. Wallach. Let's go back to Dan in Capitola. I think you have a real quick question, Dan.
Yeah, this Dan, I know. Question: how do you find out if? How do you do a test to see if you aren't absorbing correctly?
Okay, that's actually a very simple test. We actually have a very high potency vitamin B group. You take two of those capsules, a glass of water. And if within a couple hours your urine is a bright lemon yellow, you're absorbing. If it's not a bright lemon yellow, you're not.
Wonderful. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Here comes Rory in Watsonville. Yeah, I guess I hung up on him again. That's just the way life is here. Rory, you're on. Quick.
Oh, thank you. Use and enjoy using Doc products over the years. Very effective. But a couple numbers questions. Marshall asked about that $38 trillion number. Is that Medicare funding forward, or is that
what? No. That service is already rendered.
So where, I mean, how many years is that?
Since 1965. So we're talking 44 years.
So some of that's been paid, but some of that is
owed? No, that's what's owed. I mean, it's all been paid.
How is that?
We owe the money to the Chinese for them paying the bill.
If our gross domestic product each year is like $13.5 trillion, how do we get $38 trillion for medical care for our senior citizens?
Well, you get doctors and pharmaceutical companies provide all the services and products.
For 45 years. So.
For 45 years.
I understand that. It just seems like a fantastic number. The other question is, if we have, 30 million uninsured people in this country, right, roughly? That's what I keep hearing the number bandied about.
I hate to do this, Rory.
Well, those are the ones that are going to be covered by the new bill. There's 50-something not covered.
We're done. That's it. That's the end. Doc, I want to thank you for being with us. It's always a pleasure. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
2010 is going to be the best. Okay? Take care.
That's all, folks.
This is KSCO, Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose, and KSCO.
KSCO, yeah. 1080 on your
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen Regal. Fox News confirming the man accused of trying to disrupt a flight bound for Detroit from Amsterdam had been known to U.S. intelligence for at least 2 years. What happened aboard that plane? A man apparently attempting to light explosives is leading to new rules for flyers. Let's go live to Washington and get the story from Fox News Radio's Rich Johnson.
And the Transportation Safety Administration is now telling you to stay in your seat for the last full hour of your flight, and during that time, nothing in your lap. You can't take stuff from your carry-on luggage either. All this is lawmakers talk about hearings into the Detroit incident.
We want to see what happened between the transfer of passengers in Amsterdam, one flight to another.
The chairman of the House Homeland Security Committee, Mississippi Democrat Benny Thompson. Karen, others say the Detroit bombing attempt shows Al-Qaeda is evolving in its tools and methods.
Now, investigators are trying to figure out just who this suspect is. 23-year-old Umar Farouk Abdul Muttalib. There could be some clues in London.
The University College London issued a statement in which they confirmed that somebody with the same name as the suspect had been studying there between 2005 and 2008. Now, he was studying mechanical engineering. They would like to point out that might not be the same person, but nonetheless, the investigation continues and officers are continually arriving.
That's reporter Amy Lewis with Sky News. She's reporting from London. A suspected car bomb in the Pakistani city of Karachi has wounded at least 19 people today. It happened during a procession of Shiite Muslims who were participating in a religious ritual. Still not clear if it was accidental or on purpose. In Iraq, another roadside bomb. This one killed 3 Shiite pilgrims. And an American service member has been killed in Afghanistan, NATO confirming. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Now, from the history
historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Pete Seeger, born in 1919, is a key figure in the mid-20th century American folk music revival and influenced music from Woody Guthrie to The Byrds and Bruce Springsteen. In the mid-50s, Pete Seeger explains American folk music.
Someone writes a song, and he makes up his song in the first place out of fragments of older songs. He swipes a tune, he swipes a verse, he puts it together. If it's a good song, it'll become popular and it'll spread around. But then somebody else hears it, maybe 100 years later. And what will remind him of it, an event happens which is similar but not the same. So he changes around the old tune to fit the new event.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Old man winter isn't letting up over the Midwest.
It's a large area of low pressure just spinning around the Great Lakes, and really that's going to be the case until at least Sunday midday.
Meteorologist Amy Fries with our Fox affiliate WFLD in Chicago. At least 21 have died in the storm. Pope Benedict appeared to be doing well as he spoke to the faithful at the Vatican today. It was Christmas Eve when a woman attacked him and knocked him down as Mass began at St. Peter's Basilica. The woman is described as mentally unstable. She managed to jump the barricades and knock the pontiff down. She allegedly attempted the same thing last year, but was tackled by guards then. Vatican Security says it's reviewing its procedures. It is not over. The next stop for the big health care reform bill is conference committee.
College textbooks describe conference committees in such pleasant terms, kind of like a weekend church retreat for married couples in the mountains. The books say that conference committees are where House and Senate lawmakers reconcile their differences and